can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Sylvie, what's up next?
How about this? We've got Common in the house. Actor, rapper, writer. But most importantly today, opposition for Stephen A. And we're talking about the celebrity game right here on First Take from the NBA All-Star Weekend.
First-class hype man right there.
Yeah, that was fun. It was fun to meet Common today at First Take. It's hard to hear, too, because, you know, they want the crowd. It's a festive atmosphere around First Take. That's why the chant happens today.
Yeah.
It's like they're very chanty, very into the show.
They're poised for a good chant today. The atmosphere for a chant was there.
Promised all those today as Dwayne Wade was there. That I would explain again how you can win passes to Dwayne Wade's premiere. It's the sneak peek. ESPN 1000 and White Claw, we've teamed up, as we've teamed up with White Claw many times, for an exclusive access to D. Wade, Life Unexpected. It's next Thursday. It's a little less than a week at Joe's on Weed Street, which is a great place. The only way to see the sneak peek of this new ESPN Films documentary is to win your way in. Here's what you need to do. Tweet the word D. Wade, all one word, D. Wade, to 31996. That's D. Wade to 31996. Of course, Chicago native, three-time NBA champ, 13-time All-Star, the life of Dwayne Wade. You can see Life Unexpected before everyone else. This will premiere on ESPN Sunday, February 23rd at 8 o'clock. But we have this exclusive screening at Joe's on Weed Street next Thursday. It's sponsored by White Claw. Go to tweet D Wade to 31996. Waddle, I tweeted out this poll question earlier, and if you still want to weigh in on the Bulls topic, be our guest. We're going into All-Star Weekend. Zach LaVine was on First Take today.
Any chance he competes in the dunk contest?
There was. I saw some tweets going out saying that there is like some rumors saying that maybe he surprises people. I don't know.
The NBA really going to let that happen, though? They've never done that before.
Never.
Where there was like a surprise entrant.
Why is there? Why are there hard and fast rules?
I don't know. I'm asking. It would be the first time. Do you? There's
maybe
never
he's gonna
been.
He's going to try to win both contests.
I would like to see somebody like one of the All-Stars come off out of the crowd with in a suit and say, you know what, I'm coming in and I'm going to win it in a suit.
Maybe,
I'm not even going to change.
Maybe with a few drinks in him too.
Right. Former player thinks they can do it.
Yeah.
Someone, Tracy McGrady, all of a sudden comes out of the crowd. I could still dunk.
Tears his ACL after trying.
Yeah, we don't want that. We don't want any of that.
Yeah, I'd like to see, not that. I'd like to see, like, who needs rules for the dunk contest?
You
really
don't, but I've never
seen. I want one.
I would be stunned.
6'5 and under.
I would be stunned if that happened.
I want 6'5 and under. And maybe what I want is for the 3-point contest, I want like 6'10 and over.
Yeah, no.
Get everyone out of your comfort zone.
Well, you look. There are guys now 7 feet who do shoot the three very well.
That's my point.
But I mean, I still am good with a 6'8", 6'9" dunker, 7-foot dunker.
It's so
if it's creative.
How about a logo shot competition instead of 3-point? You have to shoot from the logos.
Well, aren't they doing that this year? Where they're doing a couple of shots from 26 feet.
How about the whole contest? Because Dame Lillard has basically made that a thing.
Yes, he has.
You know what I mean?
Did Muggsy Bogues, or not Muggsy, Spud Webb won the slam? Is that probably top five slam dunk contests of all time? Maybe top three? 5 foot, how tall?
I think probably, but a lot of people, believe it or not, say the Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon dunk contest is in top five territory.
Well, now Zach LaVine's 6'5", 6'4".
Right.
How tall is Gordon? He's taller.
Yeah.
He's.
But they was creative as hell. I mean, Dominique was 6'8".
Dominique's not 6'8", is he?
What's Dominique listed as?
Wow. I thought it was 6'9". I'll look.
Yeah,
really?
I was at the 88 dunk contest.
How tall is Jordan? 6'5", 6'6"?
Yeah, 6'6", he's listed as.
Like, how tall is Barkley listed
Barkley
as?
Barkley said the other day he's 6'6", but I've always heard he's 6'4".
I heard Meek is listed at 6'8".
Okay, so that's with your shoes on, right? And that's how you play, so I get it, but
Meek is one of the all-time greatest dunkers.
That's true.
And I was at that dunk contest, and you know me, I'm Jordan or I'm going home.
You're going home.
Dominique won that. Like, I was glad that Jordan won that. Rewatch. Go to YouTube and rewatch the 1988 dunk contest. And as much as I love Michael, he got beat that night.
Wow.
He got beat that night. And Michael,
I wouldn't tell him that if you see him later tonight in the city.
Michael doesn't care.
Who was robbed more?
Whoa,
Dominique
whoa,
or-
whoa, whoa. Time out.
Well, he's like in his own bunker. He doesn't care.
If you walked up to him tonight, let's just say you were at Chicago Cut and Michael was there. And you walked up to him and said, hey, Michael, Sylvie here. I covered you for how many times? How many titles? The last three?
Three, yeah.
The last three. Say, oh, Sylvie, yeah, I remember you. You were the best. You were the best beat reporter we had. You were a super guy, and I was really fond of you, and you did a great job.
He's like, who are you?
So what do you got for him? He goes, you with wine voice goes, I think Dominique beat you in the slam dunk contest. He'd punch you right in your face.
I think most people believe this, though. Michael also repeated a dunk that he did earlier in the contest to clinch it.
You don't think that if somebody told him that he won that award and it wasn't on the up and up, that you think that it wasn't his award to win, that even now at the age of 50 plus something, Michael wouldn't say something to you?
It's the dunk contest.
I know. It's Michael!
Of all weekends to slander the good name of Michael Jeffrey Jordan, you do it today? You do it the weekend the All-Star
Game
is here?
Don't spin me as like some...
Are you serious?
I'm just telling you, even though I was 17 at the time, I was scared and I thought he won the contest. If I was a judge...
You were scared?
I was Jordan to go home. I was rooting for Michael. Michael wasn't Michael yet when I was there in the 88 dunk contest.
Don't try to backtrack. All-Star I'm escorting game. You out of
how
Chicago
guys,
Bull
how
fandom.
Do you, how do you guys?
I'm escorting you out of the United Center fandom.
How do you think Michael would respond to this tonight if Sylvie mentioned this to him?
Who are you?
After a few glasses
exactly.
No, he wouldn't say that. How do you think Michael would respond to somebody
are
telling
you stupid?
Him? Yeah, there you go. That's the first response, Meller.
But I also wonder, is part of Jordan, like, he revels in the fact that he's sometimes smarter than people. Like, isn't there the story about how he would, with Scottie Pippen, and would wager on the Dunkin' Donut race on the scoreboard because he knew who was going to win because he got the stadium ops folks to tell him who would win, and then he would wager on the bench
that
with Scottie
Pippen.
That
supports my case even more so.
Like even if he theoretically, or if he should have lost, Michael would take pride in the fact that he gamed the system to win, despite the fact.
I'm putting my money on... What would you say, Abdallah?
Yeah, I guess he's petty in that way.
Are you stupid? And then you get punched.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
he's
going to
give
punched.
You the Steve Kerr treatment?
I think yes. I think so, maybe.
I just can't believe
or
on the
weekend.
Or
he puts your cigar out in your, you know, on your arm.
The weekend Chicago is hosting the All-Star game.
I love
you are
him.
Slandering the good name.
There was probably a dunk contest he should have won also in there. I'm telling you, watch it tonight. Take the jerseys off the back. Dominique was the better dunker on that February night in 88.
I would never question your ability to judge that dunk contest and come to that conclusion. Where I differ with you is I don't think he'd take it lying down, so to speak, even at the
he'd
age of
pissed.
55. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why he's the best of all time. Because he gets pissed about stuff like that.
312-332-3776. I'll play you some of the sound from Cody Bellinger on the Astros coming up here shortly. Want to clean up some of these calls, though, first. Jim's in Libertyville. Hey, Jim.
Hey, love your show, guys. It's just terrific.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. I don't think you're going to love what I'm going to say, though. I tell you, I think PAX, granted, the last year or two has been pretty weak. But to tell you the truth, I think you've been a little too hard on him. Frankly, he did a very good job when Derek came in, putting pieces around Derek. You know, if Derek doesn't go down, we have a championship that year. You also brought in a great coach with Tom Thibodeau. I know I'm living in the past, but when Derek went down, that put the Bulls in the dark ages for 2 years. That's tough for any general manager, let alone Pax. So,
is this Jim Paxson?
I'm a fan of his, too. But seriously, I really think that Paxson got a bad break, as well as all Bulls fans, and certainly Derek. And I really think that was the heartbreak right there.
I don't dis. But listen, you're I think, what do you want to say before I?
No. I was.
He didn't deny that he's Jim Paxton.
Meller said it in my head, I'm a big fan of him too.
That's not a denial.
I'm a big fan of myself.
Look, I think we all. I don't know, we all agree. I think
was
you
that
and
Jim Paxton?
I think you and I both agree. If Derek doesn't get hurt, I think they would have won a title at
probably.
Some point. But when he does get hurt, you have to be able to pivot and get back to being. A good basketball
right,
team.
Right. A so couple of things there. First of all, they didn't have a shooting guard either. Yeah. Remember who their shooting
Keith
guards
Bogans.
Were? It was Keith Bogans. Then they had a very injured Rip Hamilton next to him.
Yeah.
So, like, when they needed that final piece of the puzzle on a very important position, by the way, in basketball, a two guard, they couldn't find a two guard to play next to Derek. And they really never did until now. But the second part of that is all these moves, I admit, Pax drafting Noah at 9 was good. Pax drafting Luol Deng after the trade with Phoenix was good. You know?
Jimmy.
Like the Jimmy.
Taj was a good pick.
But we're going back 5 to 8 years on all those moves. They're all old moves. And again, there comes a time when a pitcher loses his fastball. I believe Pax has lost his fastball. That's it. I'm not a hater. I just think that he's not. Sometimes the game passes you by.
Sometimes you need new eyes and new ears.
New eyes, new ears, analytics, whatever it is, the new way the game is played. They're scouting. They've always been short on scouting. They don't have the deepest scouting staff. I don't believe that he's done well lately. And that's why I want the new set of eyes.
I think it's fair. I think it's a fair assessment.
Joey in Schaumburg. Hey, Joey.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Just calling real quick to tell you about – I'm just so sick of this team. I'm so sick of the organization that, you know, I went about till December this year watching the games, and I just realized, obviously, this team's terrible. And so I stopped watching, but I love basketball, so I gave in and bought the NBA League Pass because they did, like, half-price thing halfway towards the season. And I was watching games in standard definition, like regular standard definition basketball games, crappy – you know, fuzzy TV until I finally figured out there is HD channels. But for like a month, I'm sitting here choosing standard definition Bulls game. I mean, like Suns games over the Bulls just because I'm so overwatching this stupid team. It's just terrible. And I don't see any progression. I mean, Zach's cool and stuff, but we're not going anywhere. And what are we going to do in this offseason? Like, me and my friends, we're pretty much cashed out. We pretty much said if this offseason comes and goes and we don't see some major change that – we're just going to go pick new teams. I think I want to pick the Mavericks or something. They seem to care about their fans more than this ownership group.
So how would you define Joey? Angry or apathetic?
Oh, totally apathetic. I don't care.
See, that, I mean, that's the more dangerous fan to
not
me.
Not apathetic enough to call into a sports radio show to voice his displeasure.
Yeah, but that's true. But like, he's he's telling you that, look, I'm moving on. Like, yeah, I'm not going to sit around.
I'll check a box score or two, but that's about it. Yeah. I don't even watch them anymore. I mean, I'm just over the team. And in the offseason, we're probably going to sign like Vince Carter and try to put people in the seats or something stupid again.
Thanks, Joey.
See, I think this is the most dangerous fan. And I don't mean this in a literal sense, but if you're an owner, you'd rather have a fan that's angry than a fan that's apathetic.
Of course, yes, because they care.
Colin
in Naperville, to wrap this topic up, then we'll move on to the baseball stuff. Hey, Colin. Well,
hey, Wallace, Sylvie, great show. Love it. Hey, bottom line is that last caller mentioned the apathy, and Waddle, you mentioned that the angry fan is better than the apathetic fan. But here's the interesting thing. You've got the best team in the NBA just 90 miles north. Two guys in the All-Star game, an incredible dunker who's going to be in the dunk contest in Pat Connaughton this weekend. The bottom line is that, you know, a lot of these apathetic fans who still love the NBA could take their hard-earned NBA dollar and just go to Milwaukee and watch a team that's probably going to win the championship this year.
Yep.
And I think ultimately that is going to help the Bulls, because if you go to Bulls games now, nobody's there. You go up to Milwaukee and it's just booming. So I think at the end of the day, you know, this last caller was talking about watching the Mavericks. You got to be kidding me. I live in Naperville and I got people in my neighborhood going to Milwaukee Bucks games and not even considering going to Bulls games. And you guys live way north.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure
you
have the same thing where
Listen, I live closer to the Wisconsin border than I do downtown Chicago. Like, I mean, I can get to the border. I can get to Kenosha quicker than I can get to Chicago down here.
And then the tickets are probably cheaper.
Absolutely. That's why I'm saying to you, I think that I heard Paul, the investor, earlier, and he makes a great point. there's patience from an ownership standpoint when your asset is appreciating at the level that it is appreciating. I get that part. But cash flow is also important to people that make a lot of money. And right now, the cash flow, I would assume, is down significantly on a percentage basis.
Cody Bellinger is angry. Does this mean that the Dodgers will seek revenge? We'll discuss that coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Peace up. Peace A-Town. Up. Yeah. Okay.
Happy Friday to everyone. All-Star game in town. Warm you up with a little baseball conversation, too.
Yeah, well, there's some people hot in the baseball world.
That's
sure.
Right. I tweeted this poll question out because we were discussing it, that we both believe, you and I. We don't know, but we believe that, yes, the Astros were using buzzers last year.
Well, I just don't understand how you explain away Altuve doing what he did in the Game 7 of the ALCS this past year.
So I asked people, do you believe the Astros used buzzers to illegally steal signs in Major League Baseball? And this is, we've always said, it's tough to get a large group of people to agree on one topic, even if it's a yes or no question. We have 3,000 votes in, Waddle, and it is nearly 96%.
Wow.
Yes, 95.6%.
I don't believe, my guess is that's in the team photo for the most unanimous voting of a web poll question on this show.
4.4% of the voters say no, they don't believe that they
have
were
we
using
ever, have we ever asked a question that got a greater response?
I think we were up at like in the 96%.
For
I
money?
Think that's the highest one of those. 96,
the one, 90, money
no
good.
More than 97% on any topic.
Yeah, I would advise somebody if you're like, hey, what are you talking about? I don't remember that. Watch Altuve. Go back and YouTube it or Google it or whatever you do. And watch him take Aroldis Chapman deep. I believe it goes like left center over the fence. Runs around, grabs his jersey, like, don't take my jersey off, don't take my jersey off, which is one thing. That in itself is like Exhibit A. Exhibit B is he immediately runs down into the dugout, goes into the clubhouse, and then comes back and does the interview with Ken Rosenthal.
Yeah, you're not the only one. Cody Bellinger is one of the best baseball players going these days. He's a Dodger, and he's been vocal about this. Where did he talk about this, Meller? Was this?
This was at spring training.
This
today.
Was just okay. So this wasn't even a one-on-one interview.
Nope.
This is just with to the general mass media today at spring training.
I thought the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. You know, I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us. I know personally I lost respect for those guys. I think I would say everyone in the show in the big leagues lost respect for those guys. I don't know what human hits a walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman to send your team to the World Series. And one has the thought to say, don't rip my jersey off, but two, go in the tunnel, change your shirt, and then come out and do your interview. Like, that makes no sense to me. It makes zero sense to me, because I know me. Gary Sanchez said yesterday, you can rip my shirt off, my pants off. I sent my team the World Series off for Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning at home. You can do, you know, I'm going crazy.
I'd have taken my own pants off. Yes. You wouldn't have had to take them off. I had to take my pants off and wave them over my head.
It's what people dream about. He's right. Like, the more you sum it up that way, like, this is a walk-off home run to send your to yes. win the pennant.
Yes.
And like, think about the quotes he used there. They stole the ring from us. They've been cheating for 3 years.
Well, yeah, and you talk to people. Nobody believes it stopped. Nobody does. And again, I mean, you hear what Bellinger had to say. This is a question I wrote down, and I forgot to ask it to everybody yesterday. Why is it just Bregman and Altuve that are catching the heat for all this? Are they the only two Astros
that were in on this thing?
Well, those are the ones from 17, right? And I know there are a few others.
Correa was on that group.
Yeah, Correa spoke.
Look, they're the highest profile. They're the two best players on the Astros.
But if you're one of the other Astros that has been there for five years, or you're ducking and covering.
You know what? You guys sat next to George Springer when he brought the World Series title to Bristol.
Right.
You guys were hosting, was it the Waddle and Sylvie show that day?
I should have patted him down. No, we were doing Mike and Mike that day.
No, but wasn't that after Mike and Mike had ended and before?
I think we did Mike and Mike, then we did Waddle and Sylvie, and then we did Stephen A's show, and then I think we did
We were filling in, but that was the national show that we got him on.
Yeah, so nevertheless.
He brought in the trophy.
Yeah, but so nevertheless, though, George Springer.
Accessories after the fact is
what I think. In 2017. Brought the trophy, and it was sitting right next to you, and he's actually gone on the radar a little bit because...
That's my point, Meller, is I see Bregman, I see Altuve. Why does everybody else get a pass on that Astros roster?
I don't know if they're getting a pass, but those guys are... Look, they're the biggest stars on the team, so they're getting the most heat.
Okay, the 2017 Astros. Brian McCann was your catcher. Is he retired?
Yes.
Just retired. Yes. He was on Atlanta, right?
Yes.
Yuli Gurriel.
Mm-hmm.
Correa. Springer, as you said. Josh Reddick. Carlos Beltran. I mean, those were your starters. I mean, you had all kinds of guys. There are other guys.
All kinds of baseball players.
You got all kinds of baseball guys here. Why are they all getting a pass?
They're not, though. It's just Bregman and Altuve because they were the unfortunate two who had to face the music yesterday with the public statements, the poorly
worded
public statements. They're the ones who are... You hear their names a lot because they were the face yesterday.
Well, you know how baseball players...
Hey, shrewd move by George Springer to duck this well because he was the MVP of the 2017 World Series.
That's a good point.
How is he ducking it, though? I mean, aren't people asking him questions in Astros camp?
He's saying, go ask Alex and Jose.
So this is Cody Bellinger, one of the leaders on the Dodgers, who just... You just heard him say, they stole the World Series from us. You don't think they're gonna fight him? He's accusing the Astros of stealing the World Series from us. You don't think there's going to be some sort of a weird...
We should set the over-under at number of times the bench is empty against the Astros this year.
But okay, I don't want the dumb bench is empty, where they just empty.
What do you think is going to happen?
And then the bullpen guys are jogging in leisurely.
Okay,
if you're going to clear the benches after a team, quote, stole the World Series, you better be tackling guys.
When do they tackle guys in baseball?
They
fights?
Don't usually. Right.
We can have a. So this is my Jeff point. Jeff Samardzija did it for the White Sox.
Okay, so when the Astros, whoever steps to the plate, they get plunked. Do you think that the Astros pitchers aren't going to retaliate? They got to protect their own guys, or you're going to lose face in your own dugout. It's 160. We've talked about it. It's a 162 game season. That's a long season. If in games 1, 2, and 3, your better players are getting hit. And you as a pitcher, you're not going to respond?
Yeah, but I answer your question with a question, Waddle. Which brotherhood is stronger, your team brotherhood or the pitcher brotherhood? Because the pitchers were getting screwed on this.
Team,
so
team
do the
brotherhood.
Pitchers on the Astros go, yeah, well, that was kind of crappy to do.
Nope. You always protect your own team.
Does a current Astro who wasn't on those teams want any part of that?
Let me ask you a question. When the Yankees and the Astros play... Who does Garrett Cole go after?
Ooh, that's a good point. Well, does Garrett Cole hit his own guy?
He said today, we have the audio of him as well, Sylvie. He said he didn't know what was going on. I don't know if I buy that.
Really? Where is that here?
I think it's right next to the Bellinger sound.
Nobody's getting a win out of this, and it doesn't look, you know, very good. And I guess I'm fortunate to be able to be here and move past it.
Do you have to talk to your teammates here in any way about just clearing any type of error because you were a member of the Astros and the Yankees are not happy in general about what transpired?
I haven't gotten any vibes like that. I mean, certainly, these are my teammates, so we'll have many conversations along the way, and if that happens to be one of them, I mean, I'll just give them an honest answer, which is, you know, I had no idea of any of it going on, and I didn't see any of it, and so I don't think I have much to apologize for.
Yeah, I got, you know what, give me a second. I got to go outside. I got the Easter Bunny's on a phone. He wants to talk to me for a second. Come on. Really? I mean, like, listen, I feel bad even saying that, but because I don't know Garrett Cole. And, you know, how could you be with a team that is doing this? Doesn't he hear the garbage can lids being banged at opportune times when he's sitting? All right, he pitched yesterday or 2 days ago.
He's going on the bench while it's going on,
right?
Isn't he?
That's my point.
He was look, he's a starting pitcher. He's probably in the clubhouse half the time when they're banging on the garbage can.
Chris is in Plainfield. Chris, you're on ESPN 1000.
How's it going, guys?
We're good.
Good. Just wanted to touch in about this whole cheating scandal and want to know when they're going to set the lines for the over-under of Astros getting plunked this year, because I'm definitely hammering the over.
See, I'm on the other side of this conversation. And look, I'm not telling you that it's going to be 100% clean. There are a number of factors in play for me. First of all, if you plunk Astros, your guys are going to get plunked too. So if you're the Yankees, and you plunk one of their guys, and all of a sudden somebody throws at one of your guys, and you break a wrist, and that guy's out for 3 weeks, what have you accomplished? Really? What have you accomplished?
I know. We've always been anti-retaliation. We think it's stupid.
And not just that. Again, as I said yesterday, if you're going to run as fast as you can to the top of the hill to grab a hold of the moral high ground, you better not have any crap in your past, because you're the world's biggest hypocrite. If you're scuffing baseballs, or you're putting a little poo on, you know, on the seams of the ball,
Sam, what's going on?
Trying to get a little extra, poo-ball? You know, something.
Poo-ball?
You're trying to get a little something extra.
What kind of spitball
is
that?
I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? They come up with new stuff all the time. Maybe dried dog poop is the next thing that gives you more spin. Whatever
it is. Finally, for once, though, you have a team that violated actual rules and not these stupid unwritten rules. Now you're like, okay, now we've got actual rule breaking. Now now it's worth the plunking.
You're right about that.
Well, wait a second, though. Doctoring a baseball is illegal as well. That's a real broken rule as well. So I'm saying to you, if you're the one that is going to plunk someone, and for whatever reason you got an emery board or whatever it's called, your back pocket. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a giant hypocrite. I'm just saying to you, I'm sure there will be a plunking or two, but I don't think this is going to, the retribution, reunion tour, I don't know how long it's going to last.
Why don't these players demand that Major League Baseball reopens the investigation? If they gave them immunity, they said it's only 2017. If 96% of people believe that the buzzers were used in 2019, Cody Bellinger said they've been cheating for 3 years. Why aren't they demanding that Rob Manfred reopens the investigation?
Well, they can demand all they want. Major League Baseball can tell them to go pound sand.
Yeah, do you think
we're putting this in the past?
Do you think MLB really wants
that to go away?
That's what
buzzers.
I said yesterday.
They want it to go away.
It's
you're
now.
Right. Yeah, they don't want. They want that buried. Wait,
listen, do you think the Astros feel really good about how they met the media yesterday? They want it to go away. What they did, they come out, I'm going to be brief, I'm sorry, I'll see you in April, and hopefully we're not talking about
care?
This.
Do you think Altuve gives a you-know-what
I
today?
Think so, yes.
You do?
I do. I think this is, listen.
About yes. How their apology is being perceived?
I think internally they do feel, I don't know if it's remorse, they feel some shame. I believe so.
Okay. Waddle's World is coming up. We'll take all of your calls, too, at 312-332-3776. Waddle and Sylvie, heading into your weekend.
You know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him, and he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salt.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team, because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salt.
Waddle's World brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. Here's a punishment for a team that did something wrong that I think actually resonates with some people. I don't know if you heard this story. You were busy being a television star today out at Navy Pier with First Take. Manchester City's been banned from Champions League for 2 years.
Cheaters.
Guilty of serious breaches of spending rules. The punishment prevents Man City from playing in any European competition, including the Europa League, until the 2022-23 season. Also fined $33 million. You guys explain this better.
So, first of all, Roll Tide. This is my team. Manchester City is my team. And basically,
you defend your cheaters.
I'm going to defend my cheaters here. First of all, the players on the field, did not do any cheating whatsoever. So they are being victims of it's a victimless crime by them. They didn't do anything wrong. They played their hearts out, and they're the ones being truly punished for this. Pep Guardiola had nothing to do with this. He's being punished for the mistakes of the front office and the owners. And it's a shame. It's a shame what it is.
So
it's
what
a
did
shame.
They do?
It's a shame.
They violated financial fair play.
They basically said
can only spend so much above what you send out. So
thank God neither one of you is a lawyer, because it takes forever to get to the case.
It's a way to try
Isn't
and keep
the point of the
keep some parity in soccer,
talk
so that the big clubs can't just buy up every single player.
Yeah. Okay.
And they have since violated that, and so they can no longer play in the highest profile tournaments for the next two seasons. The club tournament.
Until they Champions appeal League. It, and then it gets reduced to 1 year or no years or something.
All
like
the
that.
Trophies coming okay. Liverpool's way.
Well, the point of what I said was, though, is here is actually what seems to be a pretty significant penalty when compared to what the Astros
were. Because you get more money if you make the Champions League. You get more TV money if you're in Champions League. So it's really, and the 30 million euros is a lot more than $5 million for the Astros. So it's exposure, it's money.
So why don't they do that with the Astros?
Well, think about it. It's also the ability to recruit players, because when you recruit players to a high-level club like that, you're like, hey, you're going to get to compete for a Champions League trophy every single year, and now they're not going to be able to for 2 years. So it affects everything.
All right.
So I don't know why they can't do this for baseball or do something similar, have a higher penalty.
I wouldn't mind it, because I don't like vacating titles.
I'm not in favor of them like not being eligible for the postseason this year, though, because I think that would throw the competitive balance out
but
of whack.
What do you like more?
I don't know.
Of those two. I think you like the future penalty more than the vacating of the title.
Not really, because I would still recognize them as the World Series champs. I know I'm probably in the minority there. I just think if you kept them out of the postseason this year, they'd play differently at times, more than likely. And then I don't think you get a true representation of who's most deserving of participating in the postseason in the American League. I can't change the past, but I don't want the future to be affected. You know what I'm saying? The Broncos and the Rams are going to cut their combine attendance. By the way, the combine's coming up soon. How about this? The Broncos are not sending their assistant coaches to the scouting combine in Indianapolis this year because they believe a better use of their time is watching film in Denver, league sources told Adam Schefter. The Rams also are not sending their offensive and defensive coordinators to the combine because they would rather have them in Los Angeles implementing the team's new scheme, sources said.
That's weird. That sounds like something the Bulls would do.
Broncos and Rams could be establishing a trend of teams leaving back coaches to watch the combine on TV and do their own scouting work in the office. I think you get more access. You get more individual access, obviously, with the combine than you would in any other manner. I know you could invite guys in and you could have pro days or you could have whatever, but that seems odd to me. I can't imagine this is a financial issue, but whatever.
No.
Tony Kemp, former Astro Tony Kemp, says that he declined to be part of the sign-stealing scheme.
Oh, so remember, Tony Kemp was on the Cubs called for
up,
half a year.
Called up in September of 2017 by Houston, Kemp immediately got asked by teammates whether he wanted to be a part of the Astros sign-stealing scheme. His answer was a firm no. And Kemp didn't feel further pressure to do it. That stood, the second baseman said Friday after arriving in Oakland spring training camp and reuniting with former Astros teammate Mike Fiers, who went public back in November. That's pretty interesting, isn't it?
He's
this is the first guy I've heard that said that he turned them down. Yankees GM Brian Cashman said the Astros did have a distinct advantage as well. He went on to say, I definitely think it had an effect on things without question, said Cashman. The Houston Astros were dealing with a distinct advantage more so than their opponents. That's a fact. I don't think anybody can disagree with that, though they may try. I still am interested to hear whether or not other teams, there's further evidence that comes out that other teams were doing this as well.
Oh, we'll find out. I think we'll get another team.
And maybe again, maybe that's part of why I think that there won't be as much retribution as others believe.
People talk. Don't forget, Waddle. People talk.
People talk. How about this? The jury, a jury has convicted Michael Avenatti of extortion against Nike. A federal jury in New York convicted the disgraced attorney of attempting to extort as much as $25 million from Nike over threats that he would expose misdeeds in the apparel company's grassroots basketball division.
This is all from the college basketball thing a couple years ago?
He will be sentenced June 17th and faces up to 20 years in prison. I don't know if you saw this as well. Miles Garrett did an interview.
I did.
With Outside the Lines and Mina Kimes, who asked him about the incident.
How do you feel about what he said?
Well, what he said was, do we have this?
Yes, we have it.
Why don't we play it?
It's longer, though. Do you want to, we can, if you want to cut it off, we can stop it at any point.
Well, I'll defer to you. Do you want me to just read what was said, or do you?
Yeah, we can play some of it. We'll play the first portion.
Let's play it.
Let's go back to November 14th. Walk me through what happened.
I mean, coming off the edge, there's probably like 10, but there's less than 15 seconds left. I remember that. And I didn't want to be on the field, but you know, since I was already out there, I was, and they were still throwing the ball, decided I was going to go make a play. So he still had the ball. He's winding back to throw. I'm going, you know, to hit him in the strike zone. I'm not trying to do anything illegal. I go to take him down. He says some words as we're going down.
What did he say to you?
I mean, he called me the N-word. He called me a stupid N-word. I don't like, I don't say the N-word, whether it's, you know, with A, E-R. To me personally, it just shouldn't be said. And whether it's known by family, friends, anyone.
And Rudolph has continued to deny this. The NFL did an investigation where they came to the conclusion there was no evidence that this took place. Now, I don't know what was involved in that investigation, whether or not they had audio. Usually an official has a microphone on. I don't know if it was turned on. I don't know if you could hear the game ambiance with the parabolic mics. I don't know if they were able to. There may have been a conversation that took place that they had the capacity to listen in on, but they've said that there was no evidence that that took place.
Miles Garrett went on further to imply that the NFL might not want that to be out there.
I heard Golic and Wingo, though, talk about this, and they brought up good points. Like, why would the NFL not want that out there? Why are they protecting Mason Rudolph?
Yeah, I don't have any idea.
You know what I mean? What's in it for them on that?
I don't. If you hid that, the retribution that you would face
is way worse
than turning this evidence over.
That a career backup quarterback is
I'm with
racist.
You
know what I'm saying?
Doesn't make any sense to me, but I mean, Miles Garrett stands by what he said. Redskins have released cornerback Josh Norman after four seasons, and the Baton Rouge Zoo has named a giraffe after Joe Burrow.
That's cool. You know how I feel about giraffes. They're one of my favorite animals.
You like to feed them.
I do, and they're just a majestic
animal.
You
like their giant tongues.
Well, not necessarily. I like everything about the giraffe is cool, I think. From head to toe. And they can run. They can really run.
The Delta CEO has weighed in on this passenger and seat reclining debate.
This has been a big one in our, and I think he came to the same conclusion that we came to two or 3 years ago.
Maybe not.
And Florida or Ohio today, too.
Yes.
It's all next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, the head honcho at Delta seems to think that the woman on the American Airlines flight who reclined her seat only to have the passenger behind her treat her seat back like a punching bag was out of line. That's what the Delta CEO is saying, that the woman who reclined her seat was the one that was out of line. Delta CEO Ed Bastian appeared on Squawk Box.
You want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear this.
I want to know what the etiquette is. If you're a tall guy, Ed, you are a tall guy. You are in coach.
I am.
And somebody's in front of you they want to go all the way back. Is it appropriate to even say to them, hey, I'm really tall or whatever it is? Could you do me a favor and don't go back? Do they have every right to go as far back as they want? They paid for the ticket.
I think customers have the right to recline. We've been testing reduced recline and seeing response on that. We actually have a fair amount of our fleet on a reduced recline as a result of that. But I think the proper thing to do is if you're gonna recline into somebody that you ask if it's okay first, and then you do it. But
oh, you have
at
to
the
ask?
Same time, I think it's every customer.
Oh, that's interesting. You think you?
I never say anything myself though.
It's called manners.
You don't say anything. The etiquette is to ask the person behind if you can recline?
I think if someone knows there's a tall person behind them and they want to recline their seat, I think the polite thing would be to make certain it was okay. I never recline because I don't think it's something that since I'm the CEO of the airline, I should be reclining my seat. And I never say anything if someone reclines into me.
What do you think? That's the conclusion that most of our listeners came up with a couple years ago was to
really?
Ask the person. Don't you remember this?
2-1 margin support the woman on the American Airlines jet from another poll. So,
well, but that's because the guy was asked. He was acting so obnoxious with his reaction. If the guy didn't do anything and all he simply said is, "Ma'am, can you please put your seat up?" Then I think most people would be with him. He was sitting there and punching her seat.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was an ass. But I didn't know whether or not it was all staged anyway. But look, I don't think you should be belligerent in any way, shape, or form on either end of this. Like, as you depicted on social media, without my consent, by the way, some woman put a coat over the back of her seat that then came into my airspace.
Right, but you didn't care about
reclined,
that, but you care about my picture
and then
now?
Reclined back.
Is that what you're saying, that you care more that I took a picture of it than the
did
woman?
Did I say I cared? I just said that it wasn't done
without
with consent.
Without consent.
Without consent. That's a factual statement. Like, I didn't get it upset because it really didn't affect anything that was going on with me. It really didn't.
I can't live that way. I'm obsessive with that.
Well, that's fine, but it did not.
No, I know.
For me, it did not.
Crazy.
Like, if it had become more intrusive, I would have said, hey, you know what, is there any chance you can fix this? So my point is I wouldn't be an ass on either front. I live by the rule on that hat.
Don't be a Richard.
Like, if I recline my seat, I'm not hitting the button and flying it back and going, take that!
Here's the
I'm
one
not doing that.
The one thing I hate, though, is, look, if you're the CEO of an airline, you're one of the few people who can take a strong position on this by saying, you know what? I don't think you should recline on flights.
Well, then
you know
I would tell the
on
CEO.
On my airline, we're not going to make seats that recline.
There you
period,
go.
Period, end of story.
There
because
you
go. That's the one thing I feel like every time I go on a flight, I have to catch flack because I want to recline. You know what? The seats are made to recline.
What about an extra? What about an extra fee? You know how they charge you for extra legroom? What about sitting behind someone that you know and you're guaranteed to not have recline?
Well, then
would you pay an extra $15
for that? That seat would be a non-reclining seat. No, I don't care.
No,
I'm gonna
me neither
be,
do
I pay for the economy plus.
But can you? Would you
like,
be
listen,
happier
also,
if you're against reclining? Would you be happier if you can guarantee that you're sitting behind someone that won't recline if you could pay a few extra bucks?
That I think that should be an option. Yeah, I'm with you.
They nickel and dime you
of
for
course.
Everything as it
they
is.
They charge you for seats that aren't even in economy plus anymore. They call them premium seats, or they call them
because they're closer to the front.
What they're charging for even seats that are in the back? I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. But listen, if you don't want to have this issue, stop creating. You create the opportunity for the problem by having seats that recline.
Right. The button's there for a reason.
Right.
Take
now,
the button out
someone would argue that there's still, you know, in some of the older planes, there's still the ashtray there that has been bolted down.
No,
so,
there's no more ashtrays.
I'm telling you. Have you not been on an airplane that had those bolted down still? I've been on those. Yeah,
They're bolted.
They're closed.
Though you could still flip them over.
Meller was in there saying earlier today, we had this conversation. Meller was like, he's not even flying Delta. He's like, he's got his own
plane.
Exactly. But I said,
he's
the
a CEO.
You can't be the CEO of Delta and fly NetJets. You can't.
No, he's flying the Delta private plane. You think
that's
he's
what I said.
That's not what you said.
Probably. No, I said...
Probably as the role of the CEO, he does have to take a certain amount of flights in coach just to see what's going on.
BS.
He's not flying coach.
Oh, no, I think a lot of CEOs do that, like, just to prove a point.
What is this? We're Undercover Work or whatever that show is called?
Undercover Boss.
Undercover Boss. He wants to see what things are like and how they function.
Well, that's just because he's playing the role of secret shopper trying to see how he's treated.
I think proper protocol is if you're the CEO of a major airline, like the Delta CEO is... You don't fly private. You fly your own airline. If you want to fly first class, fine. You're the CEO. I think Oscar Munoz, when he was the CEO of United, used to fly his own planes. I mean, not as a pilot.
In coach.
Yes. But my point to you is, don't you think this is silly? If you're the CEO of... What are you going to say, Abdallah? You got a grin on your face.
No, the CEO of Delta, and you're taking the NetJet. I just want to know CEOs of other things. You think the CEO of Starbucks is back there working the espresso machine?
Do you think Delta doesn't have a private plane?
Is the CEO of back there flipping burgers?
Do you think Delta doesn't have a private plane?
No, but I believe...
Hold on.
How is it different? But I believe that the CEO of Starbucks is drinking Starbucks coffee, not Dunkin' Donuts.
You think he waits in line for it?
Yes. Hold on one second. You're not... going back there and working in a Starbucks. We're not asking the CEO of Delta to be the flight attendant or to be the pilot.
Maybe he should.
He needs to just see how his plane goes and what things are like. Yes. I think he's got to fly a certain amount of miles.
If you just said it, though. You're right, Sylvie. He's got to. You know he'd rather be on his private plane.
I'm just telling you, if I was a board member on a major airline and you were the CEO... I don't want you flying private. I want you flying our product.
Ever?
I'm not asking you to be the mechanic to fix when one of the lights goes on. I'm saying that as a board member, you should use your own product.
Ever, though?
Takes his own private Delta plane.
That's what I'm saying.
Listen, quote unquote, that's part of the burden of being the CEO of Delta.
I understand.
That of all the other great things that you have in life, the $12 million ski house in Aspen and the Lamborghini, the one thing because you're in the airline industry, you're flying your own business. Like, I don't see the CEO of Starbucks pulling through the drive-thru at Dunkin' Donuts going, hey, give me an iced coffee with skim milk and one of those everything bagels toasted with a little bit of cream cheese on the side.
But does he ever fly the Delta company private plane?
I don't know that there is a Delta company private
plane. I bet you there is.
Well, you don't know.
I don't, but I'm willing to wager.
You want to play a game?
I bet there's a charter plane.
You want to play a game?
Yeah.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation.
Don't make me come in there and
recline. Drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Stabbings, or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
I could get the answer to this if my daughter would listen to the show because she works with airlines. People, but she doesn't listen.
For Ohio is brought to you by the Fields Auto Group. See Fields first for luxury cars and SUVs and snacks at fieldsautogroup.com. A woman is enraged after rejected relations bid. Upon returning home after an evening of boozing at a bowling alley, Rebecca Duarte wanted to have relations with her boyfriend. But when Duarte's BF refused to engage, a verbal argument began. The man told cops when he went outside of the residence...
She smelled like a bowling ball.
She followed him. According to the arrest affidavit, she first punched out the front glass windows of the house with her hand and then allegedly approached her boyfriend and began striking him. After pushing Duarte away, the victim told officers he walked over to a neighbor's house. A cop reportedly observed multiple broken windows with shattered glass on the floor.
You're not breaking the windows in Ohio. It's cold this time of year. You're doing this in Fort Lauderdale.
Police questioning, Duarte was unable to provide a statement and could not walk without assistance due to her intoxicated state.
Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, it's Florida crazy. I'll go Jacksonville.
I will play the Ohio.
You're going to play the Ohio?
I will play the Ohio side of this.
Ohio.
A woman pushed out the windows of her house when she was told no relations tonight in Fort Pierce, Florida.
I'm just telling you, Melly, you don't kick out the windows of your own house in the wintry months.
I just found a very interesting article about... Delta CEO Ed Bastian.
Oh, good. Well, you're digging up dirt on Bastian, huh? All right, Steve Levy's going to join us next. Are the Hawks done? And what about the XFL? Will this thing last? and we'll ask him about reclining, perhaps. It's up in 2 minutes.